Chip Chat.
Welcome to
Chip Chat. This is your host, Les Lakewood.
And Katie McLeod.
We're here in my apartment in Toronto to talk about chips. Katie and I have been friends for a long time.
We have.
Lived together for many years.
We played in bands together. We ate a lot of chips together.
And that's how it all came to be.
Yeah.
Actually, how did it come to be?
I don't know, Les. How did it come to be?
Well, everything, I mean, you know, I think that when we started playing in bands, I think that it came together that when we were playing in bands,
right,
we had the jam space.
Right.
And the jam space had a vending machine.
And the vending machine often had some pretty less than savory, no pun intended, less than savory choices. There was usually like some kind of crappy chocolate option, maybe some
Sun chips.
Yeah, some Sun chips. But then there always seemed to be a couple bags of potato chips that we would just gravitate towards to keep us going during band practice.
It became
long and grueling band practice.
A bit of a thing.
Yep.
And insofar as our bandmate had a dream where Katie was eating chips into the microphone.
Kind of like... And was I doing it like... Was I like torturing him with the chips? Or was it more like a fun thing? Like I was having fun just like doing this. Just like...
I picture it to be like a concert where you walk up to the microphone and there's a whole room of people, a stadium of people, because our band is huge and everybody loves us and they know...
Huge band.
That you're about to do your reputable performance of chip eating.
Okay, so it was more of a performance than like a torturous thing.
I have no idea. We'll have to ask him. It's going to be a big hit with the ASMR crowd.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What's that mean?
Well, according to my little computer here, AMSR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And it's an experience that's characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin that begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and the upper spine. It's been compared with auditory tactile synesthesia and may overlap with Frisson. Okay, I don't know if that actually tells us what it is.
I don't know what the meridian response is, okay. But I do know that I've looked into it a little bit as well, that people, yeah, they get a tingly response when people... whisper or crinkle probably chip bags or blow into the microphone. And I've seen people eating chips in these videos.
I've seen that too.
So we're really hoping that we get that ASMR faction in the Chip Chat following.
And if you have sounds that you would like to make for us, you can contact us.
Edit that out.
Yeah, definitely. Don't be making any sounds for us, please. We don't want to hear your, like...
Definitely, you know, do not send any sounds to us.
Send some sounds to us. You can send crunching sounds to us, but that's basically the only sounds that we want to hear from you.
We also want to hear your chip stories.
Yeah. We want to hear about your favorite types of chips. Why do you like them? What do they do for you?
What's your chip memory?
Mm-hmm.
That brings us into some pretty important territory for our podcast.
Right.
What's in your daily bag, Katie?
Well, in my daily bag today, I have this little bag called Ruffles Sour Cream and Onion Potato Chips.
Oh, this little old bag?
This little old bag. It's actually quite a large bag. I think it's a waste to get chips in those mini baggies that are, what are they, like 50 grams or something? It's not enough chips. You need to get 220 grams. You know, you need to get the full bag to experience the full, everything that this bag has to offer.
I would like to get to conversation in some future episode around the air to chip
ratio
to packaging ratio and see what could be done to reduce. There seems to be an awful lot of packaging that goes into chips. My one true love and my one most hated thing. Packaging.
Packaging. Yeah. Well, I mean, it does keep it fresh, right?
It keeps it fresh.
Keeps it fresh. And I feel like there must be a certain amount of air that needs to be in here in order for the bag not to just, like, break open, right? Like, if it was completely stuffed, how would you break into it without sending chips flying everywhere? Right? Like, there must be, like, a science.
There has to be a science this. Because there's always the same, well, not always the same exact ratio, but it seems to be a bit of an alchemy.
Like, you usually open it and you're like, that seems like the right amount of chips. You're never like, oh, like, it's filled to the brim. Oh, my gosh. Like, my lucky day. And you're never like, oh, there's hardly anything in there.
I've never had a lucky day where there's been too many chips.
I know. Wouldn't that be great, though? So, yeah, sour cream and onion ruffles, SoCos, as we like to call them, are just, like, the perfect chip. They've got, well, as the name suggests, they've got sour cream flavor. They've got the tanginess of onion, sort of, like, the sour... spiciness almost of onion, but there's also a sweetness to them. Fun fact, these are gluten-free for those celiacs out there. I was not aware of that. However, if you're vegan, you're out of luck. These guys have modified milk ingredients among other milk products in them, so you might want to try what's in Les's bag.
Oh, my daily bag. So yeah, I went for the classics.
Yeah.
For our first episode, I went with my favorite chip, which is a substantial, a beautiful... Look at this golden baby.
That's a
Ruffles beautiful original specimen. Chip. I love it. This is the best. This is the best chip.
If you could see Les now, you would see that they're like.
You can't see Katie. You can't see what she's doing.
Well, I was going to explain it. You're just arms out. You're holding out your
full
hands
contentment.
Like, come on! Isn't this the best potato chip you could ever imagine?
And I brought it with a special pairing.
Okay.
The original taste of Coca-Cola. What goes better with a plain, ridged Ruffles potato chip than the original taste of Coca-Cola Classic?
Can't think of anything besides that. There's something about the butteriness of the chip, of the plain chip with, like, the sweetness and, like... I mean, I don't want to say it's harsh, but it's a very strong flavor, right? They offer a nice counterbalance to each other.
They're a delight together. What is your pairing today?
Well, my pairing is none other than mug root beer.
Why mug?
You know what? I think that mug just kind of called to me today. I looked at it. I went to the convenience store down the street.
I see.
What's it called?
Down the street.
Suedo. Oh,
Suedo. Well, there's two O's.
Oh. I don't know why I thought it was Suedo.
It's like, to me... The convenience store is a combination of the 80s makeup line Shiseido and also the Pleasure Craft Sea-Doo.
Okay. that's apt for sure. I don't know. There was just something about mugs that called to me, but it does have a really
nice...
Did they sell Ray's? They did sell Ray's. In fact, that was the first thing I noticed when I walked in. Ray's potato chips. We will be talking about Ray's at some point on another episode.
Big faves.
Yeah. I mean, they're like the dirty chip, right?
They are old inexpensive.
Standby. Uh-huh.
They are not nearly as high priced as the Ruffles. They don't quite have the good, solid, crunchy mouthfeel. But if you're in for some flavor and a good story with moral outcomes, then picking up a bag of Uncle Ray's potato chips, that's at least a Canadian corner store classic. I think that Uncle Ray's is from the States, so I imagine I at least hope that it's in the new renegotiated NAFTA deal that Uncle Ray's is still available.
Well, that it's still part of the deal. Like, what would happen if we got cut off?
We wouldn't know about morality. We wouldn't know about making good decisions. We wouldn't know about the Ray family.
Well, as you're saying all this, I'm realizing that I actually know nothing about the backstory of Uncle Ray. So I think that's probably... We have to feature that on a future episode of Chip Chat.
There's many things to talk about in Chip Chat.
There are so many things to talk about. We're going to go undercover. Actually, we're not going to go undercover, but we are going to investigate how chips are made.
Can you imagine what it would look like to be undercover at a chip factory. Do we have to get a job there?
Yeah, we're gonna, I guess that's what going undercover is. Yeah, as chip factory workers, and we're going to find out everything that we want to know about how chips are made.
Picture Laverne and Shirley, or what is the show where they're putting like gloves on the bottle and it goes away? I think it's Laverne and Shirley. That's us.
Yeah,
we're those two.
That's totally going to be us. We're going to find out how chips are made. We're going to find out, you know, different styles of cooking chips, because there's kettle chips. There's like, apparently there's baked chips now, which is...
There's baked chips. There's...
Yeah.
What's up with the stacks, the Pringles that...
What the heck sort are Pringles?
Powdered, reconstituted...
Yeah, are they even potatoes? Shaped.
It's definitely potato.
Okay. Or does it just contain potato ingredients?
That we'll have to look up.
Okay.
I also want to know about different potatoes. What are the different chips made of? We had recently purchased a bag of chips that were from Scotland, and the potato that they used was a completely different potato than any chip that we get here. It was
Scottish potato.
Maybe a Scottish potato. But what are the chips that are the most commonly known in our part of the world? What are we, what are the potatoes that we're eating consuming? Right now? Do you know, like, you're a farmer, what kind of potato is this?
Oh my goodness. Well, that's not entirely true. I do like to grow food, but I'm not a farmer. I feel like it's probably like maybe a standard russet potato that we use. It's probably not, I mean, yeah, or maybe Yukon Gold. This is part of what we're going to do in Chip Chat. We are going to get to the bottom of what kinds of potatoes are used in different styles of chips.
Get you your cold, hard chip facts.
Yeah. Also, how do they make the Ruffles and Ruffles?
I think that it's the knife.
You think it's
a cutting like a, device.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots. So being from Toronto, we're happy to look forward to the pairing of local foodstuffs, drinks, sweets.
Yeah.
Booze.
Oh, booze.
Sodas.
Oh, sodas.
right now is a really good time to be a chip eater in Canada with the legalization of cannabis. There might be some chip edibles.
Maybe that there's we like can a get down with. Dip that's made from cannabis.
Definitely some opportunities for pairings of all sorts moving forward when we hit up all of the chip aisles, find the most renegade, the most rogue of the chips.
Yeah. And if you have, speaking of which, if you have a chip that you really love that you think that we need to try and talk about on Chip Chat, then please drop us a line.
Regram us. Hit us on Instagram. We'll regram you if you hit us on Instagram at ChipChatYTZ. That's ChipChatYTZ. What's the YTZ?
The YTZ, well, I didn't know this. Les told me this just now. But YTZ is Billy Bishop Airport, downtown Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with YYZ, which is all the way out in Mississauga.
I'm sure that there's lots of chip manufactory happening out by the YYZ.
The YYZ, that's true.
But we're living downtown Toronto. We'll be eating chips in downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
And our airport is YTZ. So... That's at ChipChatYTZ.
Hit us up. Tell us about your favorite chips.
What is it about root beer that did it for you today?
Well, I mean, maybe it was the fact that root beer is a root and potatoes are also a root, and I think they belong together. But that would be, I think that would be overthinking it. I really like, I love the sweetness of root beer. I love how, like, it's just so, it's like almost too sweet. But there's also a nice earthiness to it.
Okay, I want to try yours. Your pairing? Okay.
Yeah.
Swap up. Have some Coca-Cola.
Okay.
How much of your choice of root beer was the sans caffeine?
Or actually, that had nothing, that didn't factor in at all. It was just all about flavor. Okay.
These go great together. Do you know something about... Something about root beer and sour cream and onion chips really reminds me of a bowling alley.
Oh, okay.
Conjures, like...
The stink of a bowling alley? I feel like it always just smells like dirty feet.
The good times of the bowling alley, Katie. The sensationalism. I don't know. There's so much going on at bowling alleys. And probably also the stink.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that kind of brings us nicely into our next segment, which is chip memories.
Mm-hmm. When was your first chip memory?
Oh, gosh. I think the first things that stand out for me around chips is going on family vacations, or we had a boat, or like going camping, and chips, and having the chips in the cool, like the rubber cooler, the chips coming out, the chips being a focal point of my enthusiasm.
Like, that's like what made you want to go camping? The fact that there would be chips there?
No, I loved camping, and the fact that there was chips there definitely amped up the party.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always going to be chip there. I have lots of chip memories. I remember eating chips with my mom to television shows in the evening. chips with my grandmother. Getting back rubs with my baba. Chips at her place. Watching her Britcoms. Yeah.
It sounds like chips were a big part of your childhood. And that your family, like, really... Maybe you got your love of chips from your mom and your baba.
Is there anybody in your family who doesn't love chips?
Honestly, my dad probably doesn't. Like, he might love chips, but he would never admit it because he's kind of a health nut. And so when we were kids, I was actually allowed to have one small bowl of chips a week and accompanied by half a can of pop, where we would be allowed to watch our one-hour show of the week.
So was it at the same time every week?
Yeah, it was usually a Friday night. We would have my sisters and I would sit down and we would pick a show or a movie to watch. And we would have like a little bowl. You can't see this bowl, but it's pretty small. I don't know how many grams it fits, but probably the equivalent of a small bag of chips. And then we would split, like we would each get half a can of Coke or whatever the soft drink was. So those are my early memories of chips. And then Halloween was an opportunity to just gorge myself on chips because I would just get bags and bags and bags of chips and then just, you know, devour them.
Mm-hmm.
All days of the week. Probably hiding in my bedroom so I wouldn't get caught. So, yeah. But I think that, like, my sisters also really love chips. My parents these days are definitely not chip lovers, at least not openly.
Both my parents still love chips.
They sound like good people.
They're good people. I feel bad for people who don't like chips.
I feel bad for people who have to pretend that they don't like chips because they want to appear to be, like, healthy or something. Like, man, a good chip is a good chip is a good chip. Like, you can't argue with chips.
Well, I think if you don't like chips is that you don't like potatoes, and that's going down a whole other road of...
Who doesn't like potatoes?
Not a lot of people, but some people don't like potatoes. I've heard tell.
That's scandalous.
Scandalous. Hey, Katie, how many potatoes does it take to kill an Irishman?
Oh, man.
None.
Oh, I just had that thought just as you were saying it.
You did. I saw it in your eyes. Okay. Well, those are our three planned segments for the day.
Mm-hmm.
We got our daily bag, our pairing, and our chip stories. This is normally the time that we would have some conversation with our special guest, but since our first episode, we're going to tell you all about the things that we're planning on Chip Chat. First of all, we're planning to have some special guests.
Yeah.
We're planning to talk about our hometown, where we're from, which is Toronto, and all the local goodness that's here. So there's many great things to pair chips with. Drinks, soda, food.
Chocolate.
Other food, cakes, chocolate.
Cakes.
Cakes
and chips. And we want you to know that we're not always going to be choosing chips like that are super... like name brand chips that you can get anywhere. We also want to explore the underbelly of chips, or not the underbelly, but we just want to explore other types of chips that are made in our city or just on a smaller scale.
Right? The opposite of the underbelly. Well, we want, yeah. we want basically the top back. Is that the opposite of the underbelly?
The back, yeah.
The top back.
The top back. Mm-hmm.
We want the top back of chips.
Mm-hmm.
We will also be exploring the underbelly, the seedy underbelly of chips. Mm-hmm. What is the seedy underbelly of chips? If there is one, we will find it. We know that there's some... We know that there are some things to talk about when it comes to negatives for chips. Health.
Packaging. The fact that you can never eat just one. Like, if I could eat just one chip... I mean... We're gonna edit that out, right?
The fact that you can never eat just one. who was the chip maker who had the slogan, I bet you can't eat just one?
I think it's Lay's. It's Lay's potato chips dares you to eat just one. But then it wouldn't sell any potato chips, so.
We're gonna have to find out more about what chips are Canadian, what chips are from America, mm-hmm. what we don't have. We know that there's special things that Americans don't have. Everybody knows that the Canadian chip is the ketchup chip, a chip that I do not prefer.
Okay. So wait, does that mean the ketchup chips are not available in the States?
That's what I hear.
Okay. But they have a better all dress, right? Like, they're more into all dress and we're more into ketchup. I think we're going to have to get an American chip expert as a guest.
We're certainly going to have to get over to some Trader Joe's and pick up some chips.
Oh, yes. Field trip.
Field trip to Buffalo.
Yeah. We also want to find out how chips are made. So we will be going in to chip factories to find out.
These are big claims.
Find out how chips are made from the spud to the packaging phase. We want to know the whole story of the chip. How does it make it from the ground into the bag, into your mouth?
So tune in next time for Chip Chat.
Tune in to Chip Chat. Well...